a dirt floor, clay walls, no door. It was just, it was really an eye-opener, as a lot of people would say, and just the experience, I'll never forget it. It was absolutely amazing to be there. And just as everybody's been saying, they were so happy. You smile at them, they smile back. Some of them would blush and smile and, you know, look away. Just that you would think of them, smile at them. And, you know, of course, I had like 10 kids around me, and they were just, they just wanted attention, love. And, but as Mom said, we would take pictures of them and show them to them, and they would like smile and like tell their friends to come here and look. And I mean, in ways it is nice that they don't have a mirror, because we are really vain and we look in it all the time to make sure we look good. But it was really humbling just to see what they had and what they didn't. And as Maddie and Kaylee have said, when we went around, we looked in these little buildings with no doors or windows, and there are 4 children sleeping on 1 blanket, huddled together for warmth. And I really didn't know what to expect, so when I saw that, I was like, wow. And I complain about not getting a full night's rest at home in my bed. Just some of the things that we complain of here, they would absolutely love to have. Just a bed, a pillow, you know, a house, a roof over their head. And just, and my mom would carry around these oranges, and we'd give them to the children, and they would take a bite, and this huge smile would spread across their face, and they just loved it. And it was absolutely the sweetest. But all the children were sweet. And I met Miss Samantha's sister and grandmother. And I was looking around, and I really didn't want to leave. So I start crying. She comes over, and she's like so concerned. She's like, are you okay? What's wrong? And I told her, I don't want to leave. And she's just shaking her head like, you don't want to leave here? Like, what's wrong with you? It was just amazing. And this one girl lady was talking to my mom and said it was her dream to come to America. And just all we take for granted, just there they would absolutely love to have. And they work so hard, the women, as I've said before. Calloused hands, they are dry, and their skin is dry and they're bony. And most of the children were carrying babies half their size on their backs, carrying them around half the day. And this was just a real eye-opener. And so many people provided, well, God provided through them for us to come. And just to have that experience, I will never, ever forget that.
They were a beautiful people, like, at the conference. It was amazing. I mean, the people were beautiful. The singing was, I can't even describe to you the singing. The singing was unlike anything I've ever heard. And even on the videos, I don't think that you will really understand what it sounded like in that building with the acoustics. It was unbelievable. And I've got these songs going through my head and didn't even know what they were saying, but it was beautiful, and you could see that they were worshiping the Lord. You know, not necessarily every single person in there. You know, some of them might have been doing it more out of tradition, you know, like we do sometimes with the hymns, and we sing them and don't think about them. But there were people that you could tell were worshiping, and it was just, it was beautiful. So the conference was wonderful. We just happened to be there at the same time as the conference. That wasn't planned. But the Lord had it planned. And then to go out into town, you know, as they would call it, and to see the difference between the people that we had just spent time with at the conference, who were Christians, and the way that the people outside of there lived and were, it was a vast difference. I mean, just huge difference, and a lot of just it was scary. I mean, it was the poverty, you know, like we've said again and again, you literally can't even describe it. It's like the worst ghetto of Rochester everywhere. And a lot of drunkenness and, you know, just all kinds of things, just out in the open that I think are just, they seem more hidden here. But anyway, I should have had things written out because my mind is racing right now, but, definitely made me thankful for my country. It made me thankful for the conveniences that we have here, you know, just the availability of clean water and, you know, our homes and all of that. It's a serious problem there. I mean, the place that we were staying, they had a couple of water filters, but every time you'd go over to it, it's empty, you know, because everybody's been trying to hydrate. And I've just never been in a situation like that with limited water, you know, and it's important. I mean, it's something that I know I've completely taken for granted. And something that really stuck out to me was when we would hand out things, like Brother Barnhouse said when we got there, he saw, you know, we had 19 luggage full of stuff to give to them. And he said, well, you know, I'm not going to let you guys hand this out because it's going to be a mob. It's going to cause a riot. It's going to cause problems between the people. And he ended up, for whatever reason, saying, okay, I guess we're just going to hand this out and see how this goes. And he was right. You know, there were people that were angry. There were people taking more than one thing and trying to hide it away. They didn't care if it was their size. They didn't care if they needed it. They didn't care if they knew what it was for. It was just something. It was a thing. It was a possession. And, and part of it was the desperation of their need, I think. But part of it was just human nature, you know, and the way that we get about things. And you saw their countenance change when we brought these things out. And I just thought, that's America. You know, and in a way I felt like, man, we shouldn't have even brought this stuff. You know, because they were joyful before, but now they're angry because they didn't get what they wanted or they didn't get enough. Or this person took 5 things and this person didn't get anything. And I've just been thinking about that verse in the Bible, and I don't know the reference and I don't know the exact words, but just about, you know, Lord, don't give me too much that I don't appreciate you or that I don't rely on you. Lord, don't give me too little that I starve, you know. Give me just enough. And I mean, they have enough, especially these Christian people. You know, I mean, it's amazing what has been done in that area. Like, for there to be 19 Bush churches within a couple of hours in that area is amazing. And it was easy to just think, okay, well, these people have the Lord. Well, that is one area of, I don't know, a very small area, really, of Bush churches. But there's so much of that country and there's so much of the world that does not have that. I mean, we just happen to be there in an area where several churches have been established and they've got preachers that can bring the word of God to them, but that's rare. It's a rarity, you know. But anyway, just made me think that, you know, they're plagued by their needs at times, I'm sure. Although they seem very joyful, I'm sure that there are days where they don't have what they need or they're wondering how they're going to get their next meal or whatever. But here we're plagued by things. And things steal our joy, and things distract us from what's important, and things distract us from the Lord, and I'm guilty of that. And it just made me want to simplify my life. It made me want to get rid of a bunch of things, and it made me want to simplify my life and focus on the Lord and focus on my family. And it made me thankful for the family dynamic in America, too, because it's so different there. Like some people were saying, like, you can't tell who's married. You have no idea if these ladies even have a husband, but they've got a whole bunch of kids. You don't know whose kids belong to who because the families are never together. Like, they're literally never together. And maybe it was more just the conference atmosphere. But it was like, I'm like, these girls have been with me for 3 days, like attached to my hip because I'm giving them oranges. But I have no idea who their mother is. You know, like, who's their mother? But as far as the oranges go, you know, Opal told my secret, but, like, I bought a thing of oranges. I wasn't stealing the Riddick's oranges. after I bought my own to give away. I wasn't stealing the Riddick's oranges. But, you know, like one day I just thought, I'm going to slip this orange in my pocket and, you know, I'm going to give this to the girls that have been with me. And she was going through my stuff by that point. Like, we were best friends. And so she unzipped my hoodie and she looked in there and she saw that orange. And, I mean, you would have thought it was, you know, the best day of her life. I mean, she just looked at it and then she looked up at me and she went, you know, when I said, shh, because, you know, you have to hand them things in secret there. You know, if you're going to hand them money or if you're going to hand them fruit or if you're going to hand them a sweetie, as they call it, they always put an E on the end of the word, the American word. If other people see it, they will get mobbed and it may get taken from them. So, you know, just to be able to sneak them some things like that was a blessing. But another thing is I was also giving them mini candy bars. And anytime I gave them those, I would give them literally one of those little snack size things that we need 10 of, right? I need 10 of those to be satisfied, I think. And they are sharing that little thing between 10 people. And not because I'm saying share, just because they're just sharing, you know, and without even thinking twice, they're sharing. And it just was a huge eye-opener, and it was life-changing. And I love our country, but I will never forget those friends that I made across the world. And I'm thankful that they have a Christian influence there, but, boy, it makes me think about the millions that don't. So.
So I'm the Grandma Mazunga. And all of you parents that sent your children, what a blessing they were to me. I just want you to know that they were so willing to do anything, and it was such a joy to see how excited they were to work with the kids, and that was just really thrilling. And as everybody has said, well, there's two things that kind of, like, jumped at me. So we get to the airport, and there are men there to help us load our luggage onto these cars. And you're looking at all of our luggage and all of us, and I'm thinking their logistics are all wrong because there's no way that all of us plus all of you plus all of this is going into that. But they made it work. And we got to the compound, and the one guy was supposed to go home because it was his bath day. And I had no idea at the beginning what that meant.
Yeah, sure.
But as you got on with the week and you saw that there was no electricity and there's never any water, any clean water, and wherever they're going to get the water, it's a daily struggle. And there, you see these women with these great big huge buckets and things, and they're just walking along the road looking for water somewhere. And I got to thinking that guy was supposed to go home and take a bath. Well, they asked him if he could work another hour and a half, which meant if he stayed there and worked another hour and a half, by the time he got home, it was going to be dark. So he probably wasn't going to get his bath. And who knew when the next time was that was going to happen. And, we go to bed every night, we take a shower. Or we get up every morning and you don't like the way your hair dried, so you go take another shower to, you know, so you don't look like you have bedhead all day. And this guy was, like, so excited. He was like, it's my bath night. And, yeah, well, maybe it wasn't. But the other thing that struck out to me, it's such a paradox. They have absolutely nothing. They don't have a closet full of clothes. They don't even have a half closet full of clothes. In the one pastor's house where we went to make the dinner one night, I stood in the living room, and I was looking everywhere. And so they have mud bricks for walls. And to make that look nicer, she's hanging up pieces of fabric on the walls. And then you look over and there's about the size of that window is about as big as the room was. And there was shelving from ceiling to floor, and everything they owned in the world was on those shelves. Their dishes, their electronics so they could have music for worship or whatever they were doing, how they were gonna study, just everything was contained in that one little area. And then they had this furniture. I mean, the furniture was, you walked in the room, and here was the couch, and here was the coffee table, and here was the other couch, and there's a chair. And there's nothing over here because you needed a door in the room. But then you went to sit down in that stuff, and you're like, oh my goodness, they sit on this? Very uncomfortable, but they're thrilled. I mean, they're absolutely thrilled at the stuff that they have because of what the Lord has provided for them. And it just showed me how we just don't have an appreciation like that they do. It's simply amazing. We were sitting in service one night, and because we were the only white-headed people there, Rick and I, we always got special chairs, and this one little boy would get two chairs for us, and wherever he set them, that's where we had to sit. And then, so there was one little boy behind me, and he'd go like this with my hand. Well, the first time he did that, I turned around real quick, and he just smiled at me. Through the whole night, he just kept going. But he probably had never felt anything so smooth and silky in his whole life, you know? It was just amazing to me. And it was such an experience. I was going to say, so they have nothing. They have no water. They have no closets of clothes. They have no beds. They have a place where the kids can sleep and a place where the adults could sleep. And you could tell that they spent their whole days, whenever I would touch one of the women's skins, their hands were like leather. And you not like my hands at all. So in all of that, you're sitting there in a third world country, poverty galore. They're happy people. They're very happy. They're thrilled that they found the Lord, and it's such a blessing to see that. But then they all have cell phones. Yeah. I'm like, really? Of everything in this world, what you really think you need is a cell phone? It just blew my mind. So anyway, I'm so glad I got to go. If you ever watch traveling chefs that go through the world and do their culinary experiences in different parts of the world, and you go to the markets and you see this stuff, all I could think of was, I don't know how they don't have food poisoning. I don't know how they live through their next meals, but it's all true. And it was all so very eye-opening as to how much stuff God has blessed us with. And all I can say is, if you ever get a chance to go on a missions trip, it'll change your life and it'll change your heart.
Yep. Why am I last? I should have stood in the middle. That might have been awesome. At least I know what I want to say, but I just don't have a good order for it. I do want to say that the day we slaughtered chickens, that was an experience. I was holding this chicken, then it pooped on my skirt and my shoe. So then I cut its head off. Which is, yeah. But later, I don't know if it was that chicken or other ones. Brother Barnhouse told us to cut the head as close to the head as possible because the ladies want all that neck so they can eat it. But But then later on, when I was helping butcher, what else do you want me to do? And this girl, she has one of them and she just pops it open. I'm like, okay, that's what I'll try to do. And I try to pop it open with the knife. And then she wants me to get the head, the eyeballs out from the inside. And so I have to do that. But it's crazy how they want every piece of that chicken. They want the feet. They want, yeah, they take the intestines. They clean them out with water and then rinse them with water and then wrap them around those feet and fry them. Somebody ate them. I don't know where they went, but all that chicken was gone. So. Great job frying, Blake. And also that those pots that we cooked the Enshima in, that no white person could stir that. Yeah. The ladies, that I don't know how they did it. They've been doing that since they're kids, and they have strength. I will never have that. Pastor sometimes talks about that old man strength. You can get the screws off those cars. Well, they have that, and they have that young. One of those young adults that were there from the Bible study they were showing, his name was Victor. He showed Madison and I how to clean those pots. So they have it a little bit wet with water, and they take dirt and a leaf, and you scrub the black off that. And Charity scrubbed the black off almost that whole thing. I only helped her a little bit. Her hands were black as black can be, and then she cleaned them off, and then they were black as black can be again, and she thought it was so cool. She's walking around leaving handprints on the wall and on a stone and on other leaves. She wanted to take them home. Finally, Pastor was like, go wash your hands, Charity. It was a blessing to be able to bring all those things that we brought. I want to thank you all for helping everybody do that. Everybody, I think almost everybody brought something or at least helped with their suitcases or things like that. And it was a good blessing. And I'm passing them out and I'm thinking, oh, this is wonderful. Here, you get something. Here, you get something. Oh, you have a baby. Oh, I have a baby shirt. Here, it's in this pile. But some people, they would just take whatever you had. And then at the end, they're like, oh, what can I have? I didn't get anything. And I'm like, I don't have anything else in my hands. And I look around, and there's nothing else in the pile. Nobody else has anything. And I'm like, oh, okay, the stuff is gone. And I was taking photographs with Abigail, too. And after a while, it's like, oh, the film is gone. The candy I have, the candy is gone. What else do I have for you? I don't have anything else. There's nothing else I can give you. Some ladies would go up to me and be like, oh, I like your shoes. Can I have your shoes? like multiple times, multiple people. Yep. Oh, those are nice. Can I have it? It's like, you can't have it. These are the good shoes that I have. The only shoes I have left for the trip. I can't give you my shoes. You know. And I'm just glad that even when they have nothing, at least they have the joy of the Lord in their services. They have, you know, the God that's not ever going to say, oh, I don't have anything else. God always has something else. And that pastor whose house we cooked at, whose house is just, the whole house is maybe a foot bigger than my room. Like, if it's not, I don't even know. It's a tiny, tiny house. And the yard is, like, you can see the toilets. You can see where he throws out his corn. There's corn husks, like a pile of corn husks. There's some garbage everywhere because that's just what they do in Zambia. The first day I was there, I was walking, and there's a little kid in front of me. He had a candy wrapper or something. Maybe from Maybe for Mrs. Rice to give him a piece of candy. And he just tossed it on the floor and then walked in the yard. And I almost went, hey, don't do that. But I had to stop myself. I'm like, nope, can't tell him. You can't tell him. You can't yell at him to do that because that's just what they do. That's just what they do. And you can't stop that. I don't even know what I was saying. I really don't know what I was saying. Oh, yeah, the pastor, whose house is so tiny, his name was Pastor Jonathan, I think. He was the song leader, one of the song leaders, and he was put Mr. Rice to shame. I'm sorry. You'll know he was into loving God, and Brother Barnhouse said that he is as bush as they come, and he's right. Brother Barnhouse said he'd offer him things. He'd offer him ice cream. He'd offer him other things, and he'd be like, "No, I want Shema," which is what he had every single day all his life. It's like Shema. And even that he's happy with what he has, oh, this is free, do you want it? It's ice cream. Oh, no, I'm good. I want Shema. That he could have that mentality it's insane to me, but God is all he needs, and what he has is all he needs. They let the pastors from each church come up and pick something from the pile first, and then they let the young men come up and pick something. And I don't want to be rude at all, but one of the young men, the first thing he grabbed was a dress shirt, which was very nice. And he took it back and grabbed something else because people were teasing him that, oh, my mother used to wear that shirt. So then he got teased, and then he put it back. But like the first thing he grabbed was something, oh, what do I need? Which is good. That's what he wanted to do. But the first thing that other pastor grabbed was a pair of baby shoes. I went to his house. He has like nothing. And he grabbed baby shoes, and he's too old to have a baby. So I don't know who, that must have been from some kid from his church, but that's what he got. He got baby shoes. And that was just a blessing to me.
Yeah. Brother, it got on when they did that one. Oh, unbelievable. Brother Barnhouse said this. He went to, five trips, and it was on the fifth trip that the Lord called him to Zambia. I've been there three times now. I don't know. I don't feel like yet the Lord has called me to that place, but I sure do appreciate being able to go. The children sit by themselves, the gentlemen one side, the ladies on another. I know what time it is. It's 8 o'clock. We'll finish up in just a minute. I just want to show you a couple pictures, and we'll get through that. If you got to go, you can. I know our guys are leaving at 3:30 tomorrow morning. If you have to go, completely understand. But children sit in one section, the gentlemen sit on one side, and then the ladies sit on the other side. And someone mentioned, man, you see how well-behaved the kids were. I said, yeah. Did you see the usher? No. He walks around with a stick. The kids, whack. Just hits him with a stick. I thought, yeah, that's what we need. Just coming around. That's what I'm saying. Just hit. I don't know. All right, let's move this real quick and just show you a couple pictures. And I will not belabor it. I really hope it's a blessing to you. I hope you get an encouragement from all this. So I can walk away. Each person on our team had a great asset. Everyone there was there on purpose. God designed, and thankful for that. The Lord really blessed with the opportunity to be able to teach and preach our men and ladies. Some people preached, hadn't preached before. Can you turn this one off? That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. And can I use that? Is that all right? Just forward?
Video. It'll forward on the slide and press it again.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so Brother Seatman took that picture, and so pretty. The sunlight, the sunsets are very orange and yellow, as you can see. That was not edited. That's what it looked like. That's right at the farm there. And this was us leaving. This was the arriving. Beautiful. As you saw, the jatengas we had, and the ladies wearing those. Those are their outfits. You can see them there. They use them as they'll wrap them around on their head and carry very heavy things for very long distances, carry water. They'll take them and wrap around their back. They're the thing to carry their children with, and then they keep them as skirts. This is inside the Riddick's house. We always had a time of fellowship to take 20 people from the comforts of their home, thousands of miles away from normal, comforts, and demand so much of them. The team worked together so well, and there was really absolutely no problem on any of that, which is really the hand of the Lord in all of that. This was the ladies, as they were saying, washing up dishes. That guy right there, his name is Victor. Victor is a huge help, graduated from Bible Institute. He's about 26, 27 years old, trying to learn the ways of pastoring, his desires to be a pastor. And you pray for him. This was our cement mixer that we used quite a bit. Again, just some fellowship time together. They were playing a card game. Just a good time of fellowship. We went out for pizza to a very cool place. This is called The Hut. And unlike anything else, you see, they had nice napkins and everything. Got a lot of different pizzas. Ordered a bunch of pizzas. And then they said, I heard that you were looking for pepperoni. I said, yeah, I wanted a pepperoni pizza. It was not an option on the menu. They're like, we have pepperoni. Seth, that was not pepperoni. That was a lot closer to bologna than it was pepperoni. But we ordered a bunch of pizzas like that, again, inside the house. This is our travel. This is when we touched down. This is in Zambia. It was hot all the time. It was about 80 to 90 degrees every single day. Got down to about 60 at night. That's us loading up on those vehicles. We had three vehicles. These are like Land Cruisers over there. That one's about 35 years old. Zero air conditioning. Air conditioning in this one. So we put the older people in that one and a little more comfort. We fit about, 13 people in that vehicle. Yep. Same thing with that one. No, not very good shocks. I don't know what to say. But we would strap all the stuff on top and do that. Just happiness. That's Miranda. That's Charity. There you go. That's us driving. That's the perspective. Literally, they call it the zebra vehicle. It looks like a zebra. It is something else. That's all of us packed in. That's them packed in there. And that's what it looks like when you're behind. You want to be the first in line. And there's jockeying constantly for position. That's the road to the farm. It's about, I don't remember what he said, 5 kilometers or so. And but it takes a good long time because there is no smooth driving. That's what it looks like. There is no windshield washer. There's none of that. There's a place called Nando's Chicken. It is out of South Africa. Absolutely fantastic. That was our first meal. Went to the mall, and that was a great meal right there. Then we got Gelato's Ice Cream, Brother Barnhouse, multiple times. He really likes that place, and he gets everyone to go. He buys everyone ice cream every time we go there, and so that was nice. This was making food for that village there. So this is the that's the enchima. That's a little bit of the soup, and that's a piece of chicken, and we were handing that out. That's where we were. This is my first time seeing these slides, so kind of telling you as we go. We land in Ndola. We go over here. This whole area is Zambia. Brother Matachera, Beth Resch, she's over here. That's where they're at. This is the Copper Belt. That's what they call that area. That is not a bad part of town. That is town. That's what it looks like all the time. And again, driving through. Those are the roads. That's the kids chasing the vehicles. That's the road to get to a place. So you look at that, but you'll take that in, and there'll be a village back in there. And that is the village. There's the sunset. This is at the farm. This is where that clinic was. They were helping people. Talked to Brother Rodell about some of the things he saw inside that clinic. Tooth extractions and pretty rough stuff going on in there. This is the farm. This is Brother Riddick's house. Is that the Collins house there? Yep. Yeah, right there. A big gate in between. This is Brother Riddick's house. They have a little trampoline there. Solar here because the power goes out just about every day. Inside here is a incredible, I don't know why, but he thought it would be cool to, he told the guys, I want a viper. So he gave the guy, you can get anybody to do anything for a python. He got a viper. The viper was a Gaboon viper. One man ever that has survived a bite from a Gaboon viper. I don't know why you would have this. It's 2-inch long. He had to have 44 anti-venom treatments, lost a couple fingers, but that's the only guy that lived. But he's got one of those, and it's funny because he has pet guineas, which are like little hens, and they perch right on top of that nest. I don't know why. There's a container over here. He catches the rats on the property, puts them in there, and then they go into there. There's a bunch of these. These are water towers around. This is where I stayed. This is the orphanage there. I think that might be Joe. I don't know. This is the tabernacle where we had service. Last time we went, brother, you remember the thatched roofs and all that? They upgraded, and that's what we would meet in every night. Just some pictures from the farm there. They put a water pool in. It's about a 30 by 40 pool. They built all of that, a wall all the way around, fully paved, in-ground pool, $12,000. I say that's not a lot of money. That is not a lot of money for what that is. And so they have that there. And someone gave money to Brother Barnhouse and said, I want you to do something for the kids. And they put that in. So that's where we had our baptisms, blessing. I got to baptize 12 people. Saw 4 people saved at the conference, which was awesome. This is the houses that they stay. Who is this? The Collins house. Riddick has like a little area in his back porch. Really nice. You just sit there and it's quiet. Little fountain inside there. Had someone gave money to build something. His father built that gave money to him to build that. And so they'll be able to have pizzas there. And nice. There's that snake.
Like, you won't be able to make it to
that thing's legit. What? No, no. He brought it out once. Yeah. Yeah. There we are. The girls wanted, they came back like this from a trip to take someone home, and they rode on the back. There's dogs at every house. They howl all night. And then the roosters start in the morning, so that's fun.
I have the bruise on the back of my arm.
There's little chickens.
When we first got there, there were a bunch of little chickens. When we left, there was a lot less. Here's the conference. This is what it looked like inside.
Preaching. I'm on it.
And it worked so well.
Oh, this is little Hildy. She's a little sweetheart. She was my illustration. So I would say something, and then he would respond.
It worked so well when you trust the Lord.
That's Nelson. He's a great young man. Again, just more pictures of the farm. That's Rock of Ages. It. Their language, though, it's pretty much what you see is how you say it. But if you can say it, I don't. Yeah. But that's what it sounds like, and that's during the conference. That's Pastor Ed. Awesome. This is an altar call after preaching. You know, I have a bunch of things written down of the things the Lord showed me, but just reminded again that that there are certain things that transcend all culture, and the power of the gospel is one. Although we could not communicate always, there is a language that communicates. And that is the language of love. And charity never faileth and always works. And that was true. You might see some singing here. So like you said, they would come in. This is how they would come in to... Which would be kind of neat here if we did specials like that. Like, you know, like the Warners tonight. Instead of just starting there, we got to start back at the nursery and coming in like this. They all have the same movements. They all match. Then they sing, and then they do this on the way out. But on the way out, it gets a little more. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So this is Pastor Jonathan. This is the guy that we would go to. Brother Barnhouse told us. Yeah, there we go. Before I play it, I just want to... So this is... He's almost like the hype man. I don't know what his job is, but there were times when he would get going and Brother Ackham would have to, like, take the mic from him because he was going so long. So I don't know. Is the volume up on this? All right. Are we good back there? Yeah, I don't know how that's going to sound, but we'll give it a try. All right. He was something else. There's a group up there. Them getting into place. So this guy's like the director, and he sings a little bit, and then they all kind of respond. And again, this isn't even the song that they're actually singing. That's just them getting to where they need to be. So Brother Barnhouse someone gave money to buy a cow. So they bought a full cow. They broke it up in pieces to give to everybody. There's Sam with the sawzall cutting it up. And that was something. Good. I don't know. It's just pretty awesome when you're there. So did it get out of control? No, it didn't. It was pretty great. So what's happening here? That's what's happening. I don't know. Baptism, again, people got saved, and that was a great privilege. That water was cold. Say, how could it be? It's in the middle of sub-Saharan Africa. I don't know, but it was cold. It was cold. Each choir looked a little... And they would all have different movements. Say it again. So, Victor's our buddy here. He spent a lot of time with us. He invited me to his house. So, Seth, you went with me. You spent some time in a Christian college. This is where the boys live. It is their dorm room or something else. But he invited us over, and he made me and Seth lunch one day. Super, super great. This is Godwin. He was my interpreter many times. Kids Sunday School. Our kids got an opportunity to teach Sunday school, and which was just great for our people.
Climb up the hill.
Getting into place. That's Brother Collins right there. That's where they would meet outside. These are going to be rooms for the orphanage. This is inside the children's hope thing. I think Cameron was there last time and helped build those or something to that effect. That's Brother Rodell teaching. Aren't those precious? I don't know. That's just precious to me, seeing Brother Rodell teaching all the little kids there. Brother Rodell did a great job teaching. Don't let it go to your head, but we might have a new Sunday school teacher here soon. And Lord's given him a gift. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Chapter 14.
Here's the teens. There's Blake teaching the teenagers. Maddie teaching teenagers.
2 Kings 5.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to hear this, Maddie. Okay. Mr. Seatman got to teach. Here's some activities. Basketball. Chaos. You try and organize games, but it just ended up being just. So there, this was the Victor. What did you call this level of soccer? The elite level of soccer. They literally played soccer for how many hours? 3 hours. Barefoot. Some had cleats. This was the teenagers. They were playing. We brought some goals for them. Playing. Oh, this is a water balloon fight. 6,000 water balloons. Just having a time. Here's the kids. Just you've heard a lot about Elijah. That is Elijah. He is as big a personality as you can find. About as cute as anything. They all are. They would just hang out with us, literally hang on us. This is the orphanage. They would have these, I don't know if that's it, but they would have controlled burns and burn whole sections of area. That's waste management. Here's the clinic. We had some workers in the clinic. He asked if we had any people with medical experience, so we threw Miranda in there. She was doing things that if you have ever found out, well, you know. We built a garage, and so this is the second half of the week, and that was a lot of... So, it was a lot. It was 26 by 20. And that's what it ended up being. So 26 by 20, 4 to 8 inches thick. Those are the posts going in. Those are 17 feet. Those are maybe, how tall? 16 and 14. Seth is absolutely amazing, let me just say. He signs his name, two S's together. It looks like a lightning bolt. We've just started calling him Thor. What he can do, what you can't see is there's a whole work site right next to this that Seth looked at and said, we're going to have to start from the beginning. And we did, and he did a tremendous job. That's Laxon. Those are beams that span across. There's putting the roof on. There's the roof complete. And that was a big project. This is at Pastor Jonathan's house there on the way. This is his church. It's Pastor Jonathan's church. I was concerned tonight because it was a little humid in here. And, you know. Just going into Pastor Jonathan's house. So we've told you about this house. This is Pastor Jonathan's house. It does have a door, but it is not large at all.
Don't do it.
Yeah. That's a chicken without. Oh, this is Laxon showing us how he would have killed the chicken. If you're doing it by itself, and then right there. Yeah. See?
So it's the same process because you're doing it.
How do you love the Buffalo Sabres hat? Do you like that?
And if I was doing it by myself, I just.
This one has no head. There's some kids from there, getting sticks for the fire. Get ready. Making dinner. Okay. So this is Barnhouse being Barnhouse. This is a chicken head. There you go.
Who's next? I need another girl.
This is plucking chickens.
You do this
literally fresh chickens. Some people liked it more than others.
You gotta find that sauce spot in the joint.
Yeah. No. Rinsing. There's the sink. So you have three stones on either corner, and they take these long sticks and just feed it in. Is that the oil? There. Blake was our chef there, and.
Look at that.
That's a chicken heart.
Chicken hearts. What are you cooking for us? Making a quinoa. Then a kid came over in a wheelbarrow with his own drum. There he is. Here's percussion. That dinner that night. Messing with the fire. Seth preached that night. Again, Victor.
And about the first Peter is speaking to say.
It's the kids. The live chickens were eating the leftovers of the dead chickens. That was weird. I don't know. That's just messed up. That's That's something. Mad. Is that? Bubbles were a big hit. I don't know. They loved them. This is feeding everybody. There was a lot of food.
John has to pay.
That's my Pastor Johnny.
I want you to sit right here.
That's my friend, when we carry up.
Oh, they mentioned it. I've never done this before, but Brother Bunch just asked if he wanted, if I would help wash
the...
That was humbling both for, I promise you, for all three of us. I couldn't figure out how to take his shoes off because he's tied his laces behind because his shoes didn't fit. And then when after had a... to put his socks back on. I didn't know what to hold to put his foot through of a sock. Something else. This was our team. This was the last pitcher.
Okay, this is a team that came to visit us in Africa. We are so grateful for what they have done, and God has really used them greatly, and the life that they have impacted and also touched. Many are the blessings, and the word was preached, the seed has been sown, and also we pray that as they are starting off today, God will give them safety and also keep them safe and also come again. So that is our prayer. We love you guys, and we are praying for you. We'll be praying for you. Thank you so much for visiting.
That was Pastor Ackham, and we're hoping to have him here in a couple months, and we'd love to see him. Get your Bibles out. No, I'm just kidding. It's 8:30. It was a great trip. Again, every time we take one of these, it just reminds us of how important it is to take the gospel. Hope that was a blessing to you and encouragement. And again, just you heard maybe some similar things, but those were impacting things. And I don't know. I know different kind of service tonight, but you all were involved in that, and you all had a part in that, and hope that one day you can board a plane with us and take a missions trip with us. When I was in Bible Institute, I truly thought I was going to be a missionary. That's where I thought I was going to end up. And Lord didn't allow that. But I'm thankful for being able to take trips. That way, maybe on those trips, God would touch one person's heart that goes and ends up surrendering to be a missionary. So maybe I don't get to be one, but maybe I'll get a chance to see others come out. So. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you again for safety, so much that could be said, and God, so much glory needs to be given to you, and thank you for that. Thank you for the souls that were saved. Thank you for the lives that were changed, both there and here. Lord, I ask you, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home, and God, I pray that we not forget those things that you touched our hearts about. Lord, we need you and love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.